Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Pope Francis, the leader of the largest Christian denomination, the Catholic Church, has died. Francis was racially a white man, but his personal and religious beliefs led him to become a sickening traitor to his own people. A supporter of open borders and mass non-white migration into white lands, and a fervent advocate for the acceptance of sexual perversion among our people. The damage he did was immense and unforgivable. The new pope, Leo XIV, born Robert Prevost in Chicago and a naturalized Peruvian citizen, who spent many years there ministering to the largely Amerindian and mestizo population of that country, is being touted as the first American pope, getting mentally confused Christians and especially followers of the Catholic sect of Christianity all excited, as if this is somehow good news and good for America. Prevost, now Leo, has a time-honored name among popes, and brought to mind his predecessor, Leo XII, who insisted on enforcement of the law in the Papal States that Jews could not own property there, and his even earlier and highly cultured and unusually honest predecessor, Pope Leo X, who reportedly once marveled, "What riches this fable of Christ has brought us." Now, the new Leo is just as much, if not more, anti-white than was Francis. His support for open borders, the migrant masses, and the cult of George Floyd are all on the record, along with many other evils. But you can't really call him a traitor to the white race, for the simple reason that he is not entirely white, far from it, in fact. Now, he may be 65% or 80% white, the records are not absolutely clear on such things, but he is definitely part black, somewhere in quadroon or octoroon territory, and such things show, and such things matter. Very much. The media have been crowing about this, in fact, with the white woman talking head on Jew-run ABC's Good Morning America, Kyra Phillips, former wife of someone named John Assad, gushing about how having a part-black quote-unquote American as pope is quote-unquote just incredible and quote-unquote I love that and quote, "This is such a representation of the American story," close quote, as she disclosed that Leo is a descendant of, quote, "Creole people of color," close quote, on his mother's side. His father's side, evidently all of European ancestry, was not worthy of mention by all smiles Phillips. Phillips literally glowed as she expressed the view that Leo's black ancestry must be, quote, "of great significance for black Americans," close quote, who apparently are expected to revel with joy at the thought of being part of a mulatto octoroon future, in which their race, too, will be subsumed. Or, perhaps more accurately, though all unstated, revel with joy at the contamination and future disappearance of the hated whites, regardless of all other consequences. An ABC article posted under the Phillips video clip stated, quote, "Both of Leo XIV's maternal grandparents, Joseph Martinez and Louise Bacquier, are described as black or mulatto in several census documents. On their 1887 marriage license, Martinez listed his birthplace as Haiti, and birth records show that he was born in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Chris Smothers, professional genealogist for 15 years and historian studying at Simmons University, told ABC News that these were the same territories at the time. Bacquier's birth records show she was born in New Orleans. On the 1900 census, while his family lived in New Orleans, both Leo XIV's maternal grandparents and his aunts, Irma and Margaret, were identified as black. However, in 1920, after the family migrated to Chicago and had the Pope's mother, Mildred, that decade's census reflected their race as white, close quote. And so, our race is submerged in non-white DNA and killed by socially ambitious part whites who want to pass. In the text version of this broadcast on nationalvanguard.org, I will post several pictures of the new Pope Leo at various ages, in all of which his impure ancestry is evident. I have a picture of Prevost during his college years. I have a picture of Prevost as a young priest with Pope John Paul II during the 1970s. I have a picture of Mildred Martinez, Prevost's mixed-race mother. I have one of Prevost's yearbook photographs. Now, I am not an appearance cultist, and I fully acknowledge that there are genetic outliers and coincidences that can make some perfectly white people look odd or atypical or even ugly. And yet their racial whiteness and loyalty to their race are unquestionable. But these considerations don't apply to Prevost. Even if his appearance was entirely white, which it isn't, simply having a significant and fully known and documented mixed ancestry like his would tend to make a man see the world from a non-white or anti-white perspective. This can even be true when a white man falsely believes that he has some non-white ancestors, which we see so often in Pocahontas syndrome, where a mere rumor of an engine in the family tree 10 generations back makes a weak-minded white man believe the rumor without getting a DNA test or even looking into it. And before you know it, he started wearing feathers on his Willie Nelson cowboy hat, and he's blubbering about how spiritual Native Americans are, and telling anyone who'll listen about how some great-great-uncle or other loved a Cherokee princess, or something like that. I'd say a princess is involved 80% of the time. In a spiritually sick society such as ours, in which proclaiming your whiteness is close to social suicide, and Christianity definitely contributes to that sickness, such delusions are apparently compelling, irresistible to the weak-minded, and increasingly common. As a man of mixed race, the new pope cannot be expected to have any loyalty to or concern about the welfare of the white race. He can instead be fully expected to support nearly every aspect of the Jews' agenda to mix us out of existence. His very DNA compels him to believe, even more passionately than most Christians, in the Bible dictum that there is neither Jew nor Greek, meaning that race does not matter, but all are one in Christ Jesus. I don't think much is going to change about Catholic policies, which were already anti-white. But if they do change, it is pretty clear the changes will be in a bad direction for us. I do want you to ask yourselves some questions. Questions which may inspire in you a new vision of the future in your mind and heart and soul? What if, instead of a religion which teaches us that all races are the same and that mixing them is just fine with God, we had a religion which teaches us that our race has a divine purpose and destiny, and that mixing it into oblivion is the ultimate sin? What if, instead of a religion which teaches us that we must tolerate and even love sexual perverts and transgender monsters who recruit our children into their sick circles and lead them toward a future of permanent sterility and the end of their white family line? If instead of that we had a religion that teaches us that white sexuality and white families and white children are sacred and part of the eternal and divine destiny for our folk, written into our DNA and the structure of the universe itself. What if, instead of a religion which teaches us that Jews are especially holy and are our spiritual forebears and elder partners in the faith, if instead we had a religion which warns us of the dangers of having such an alien race among us and warns our young people so that they are not ensnared by Jewish tricks and propaganda, not only can we have such a religion, we do have such a religion. It is called cosmotheism. I encourage each and every one of you to read the texts on cosmotheism we have published here on nationalvanguard.org. I encourage everyone who hears my voice to read the most potentially life-changing book ever published, Cosmotheism, Religion of the Future, which is available at cosmotheistchurch.org. That's cosmotheistchurch, all one word, .org. As I said many years ago, cosmotheism just makes sense. Here's one reason why. Every honest man or woman has to admit that his or her religion or philosophy, no matter how much comfort it gives, no matter how good its ethical principles are for society and for your conscience, does not have all the answers about everything in life, does not explain everything about this universe, and does not infallibly predict what dangers and possibilities the future will bring or what we should do about them. Every honest priest or minister, every honest philosopher, and every single honest person will admit this. Of course, we cosmotheists admit it too. We don't have all the answers. But cosmotheism is the only religion which squarely faces this and gives the only possible reasonable response: to answer the important questions that must be answered, but for which none of us has an answer now. The questions for which honest men admit even our best minds are so far inadequate. We need one thing. We need better minds. We need better men, better women. We need our species to advance to a higher state of being, to a higher state of intelligence, to a higher state of wisdom, to a higher state of character, and to a higher state of strength and power. We need to become something beyond man, above man. We need to get closer to God, to the Creator. Better human beings, upward evolution, eugenics. That is the way, the only way, to find the answers to the questions that even our greatest philosophers and theologians have been unable to answer so far. When you're choosing who shall be the bearers of human life as we seed the stars, a momentous decision indeed, a decision on which the future of life in this universe, and even perhaps the next universe, depends. Who should be the chosen ones? Those who brought us the 99% of advances in human knowledge, those who in fact made the conquest of the stars, the asking of this very question possible? Or the others, the best of whom have given us the remaining 1%, and most of whom gave us nothing, or by burdening us or fighting us, gave us less than nothing. The answer is obvious. Cosmotheism and the abilities it gives us to ascend the spiral staircase of our DNA to the stars, to the next step in human evolution, is ours. It is ours alone. You can leave the primitivism of Abrahamic religion, of Christianity with its Middle Eastern roots, which it shares in common with Judaism and Islam. You can leave that all behind. And you should leave it all behind. They may have the power and money and the alliances with the Jewish power structure, but we have the truth. You can free yourself from the anti-white concepts that have chained you for your entire life. You can liberate yourself from the limitations that a false tribal god, somebody else's tribal god, has placed on your mind and heart and soul. The conclaves and endless contradictory verses, and the Jew fawning, and the excuses for irrationalism, and the tortuous arguments you have to use to tease some meaning out of ignorant, ancient Semitic screeds. All this can be left behind. Then your life, your real life, can begin.